We know more than we ever have about what it takes for optimal learning, and we're putting it into practice for children across Los Altos School District. I'm Sandra McGonigal, the Superintendent of Schools.
And I'm Greg Drummond, Director of Teaching and Learning.
Welcome to the LASD Experience. All right. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Mrs. McGonigal.
We are here today. Well, last time we recorded, we talked about deeper learning.
Yeah, we did the DL on the DL.
On the DL. Today, we're going to get into one of the principles for deeper learning, which is amplify student voice. So last time, I'm sure we talked about four principles for deeper learning: learn through inquiry, make learning public, activating the six C's, and today's focus is amplifying student voice.
So sure is. So maybe to begin, we could like just put out a definition for what we mean when we talk about student voice. This concept, I think, could involve two things. One is the expression of self, giving kids the space to share who they are, what they value, and things like that. And the second is about what the teacher does with this information, the approach they use to truly center kids in their learning. In other words, it's like what they do with this knowledge of who their kids are.
Sure, absolutely.
So for that reason, amplifying student voice begins with really listening to kids and getting to know kids.
So critical.
Teachers do this in a number of ways. Can you name some of them, Mrs. McGonigal?
I can. Well, they get to know families.
Uh-huh.
It's an important part.
Right, because there's this essential component of parents know so much more about their kids than
Absolutely.
We do.
Absolutely.
Right? There's also just the interactions they have with them in class. Like, we talked about this last year around positive developmental relationships. Those interactions are ways that kids, our teachers, really understand how kids approach complex tasks or the way they see themselves as learners.
Yeah, they're getting to know their kids academically through formal and informal assessments and really knowing what they know and what they don't know and what they need next.
Mm-hmm. For some, it's surveys, like really asking pointed questions to find out particular information about how kids are thinking about things.
Yeah, so many ways. It's really terrific.
So then this element of what do teachers do with that information when they have it? Let's highlight some of the big chunks of things that categories of things teachers do to help to amplify student voice. The first one we'll call identity.
Sure.
So there's an activity that happens in classes sometimes. We call it identity mapping. And these are like activities where kids are given the space to kind of share who they are, develop their own perception of who they are, both as people and as learners.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is about allowing students to do some thinking about who they are and what's meaningful to them and what they value and what their family values and who they want to be and who they are, all of those things.
It's not telling them who they
are.
It's helping them think about who they are. Culture is a part of this.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Knowing themselves as a learner is another important part of this, too. So even thinking about what it means to be a learner and then how do you connect with these different ideas around learning.
Yeah. So fun. Super fun. The next one we talk about is how do we build curiosity for kids and provide opportunities for experiences that develop curiosity and allow students to go deeper in their own areas of interest.
Mm-hmm. One example of this is just the idea that teachers are not the ones that dispense all of the knowledge and all of the questions, right? So instead of teacher posing the questions, we use protocols to engage kids in question asking, not just question answering.
Absolutely. And at our last professional development day, we had a whole strand on questioning techniques to really beef up the skills of our teachers around this, because we do want kids to be the ones asking the questions that matter to them.
Yeah, the second part of this is about the thing that you put in front of kids that they are really going to engage in to investigate something. So are you putting something in front of the kids that's truly interesting to them, that they're sure. going to want to investigate, that they have some natural curiosity around?
Absolutely, that they want to put their voice toward.
Right. Kids are naturally curious.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Next up.
Ownership of learning.
Yep.
Couple ways that we do this with kids. These are just a couple of examples that I think we could probably name.
Many.
But I was thinking about peer feedback and the way when you put two kids together to critique each other's work and give each other some next steps, it creates a different dynamic than when teacher says, here's the thing that you need to do to make this better.
Yeah.
Not that the teacher feedback isn't important.
Absolutely.
But peer feedback really empowers kids.
Yes, it's super empowering. And to have tools and structures to be able to do that, to build my own skills, to be critical of my own work, and to learn how to provide feedback that's caring and specific and actionable is so great when we think about all of those outcomes we want for kids. That's a big piece of it.
Another element is just around this concept of co-construction, where it's, you get the sense when you walk into our classrooms that it's not the teacher doing the work, but the kids doing the work together with the teacher.
Absolutely.
Some real specific examples of this are things like writing a short piece of writing together instead of just like reading an example that somebody else wrote.
Right.
You would co-construct, we call that shared writing.
Sure.
Or the teacher leading the class through a series of exercises that answer a bigger question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have teachers who co-construct anchor charts as supports that really document the thinking and the learning that's happening in a classroom, and then that becomes a tool that kids can go back to. All of this helps kids own that learning and have a space for their voice.
Let's get to our last concept around amplifying voice, which is authentic tasks.
It's so critical.
One way we do this is through celebrations of learning. We do these, you see these sometimes at the end of units, but sometimes in the middle of units too, where we have an audience come in and we try to find one that's authentic for the thing that the kids are working on, to celebrate the thing that they're working on. Give them a chance to say, here's what I've done that's really great, and here's what I'm learning, here's what my next steps are.
Yeah.
Not just about the product, but about the process as well.
Yeah, super critical. We also want to make sure that kids have real world problems that they care about as tasks for their work, right? That they are asking those questions, doing something with what they're learning. They might be making an impact at their school, making an impact within the community, but those real world problem solving skills are really critical.
So important.
So important.
Ultimately, our goal for all of this, we've said this before, is for kids to become writers of their own stories, and their voices are critical. If you're going to be the writer of your own story, you have to know yourself and you have to be doing things that matter to you. And that's what voice is all about.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. This was great. This was our quick dive.
It's very quick.
I know, into amplifying student voice. And I think next we'll tackle one of the other principles of deeper learning.
That's great.
Thanks,
Andrea.